this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's farewell tour continues, sir. He's busting all the hits. 3-0. Tottenham. Lads of Tottenham. They're always good for a battering. So they looked terrible. We backed it in. But hey, good goals. World-class players scoring big goals today for United and can't beat a clean sheet. How are you feeling? How are we doing? Good to see Varane back in that starting 11.
Lads, it's Tottenham, you know, wet noodle FC. I mean, Manchester United, like, you know, there for the taking. Tottenham can't even do nothing. I told you I watched them against West Ham. They got nothing up front. Son and Kane, just sad Harry Kane. That's all you're seeing, just sad Kane. Can't get the lads up. Hey. Back against the wall, Ole 9 lives. He's got 11 lives. Big win, big 3 points. Class finish from Ronaldo. Cavani might be my favorite Manchester United player. I mean, like, he's got everything we need. He's such a leader, the energy, the effort, all over the pitch. I know he's older. He can't play as much, but he's exactly what we need. And, like, that Cavani feeling on the pitch, I think it changed things. Great goal. Back five. We'll take it.
Sir, I'll take it. I like the formation. I just didn't like the midfield. McFred. I was like, why do you need a McFred with cheese if you have a back three with Varane, Maguire, and Lindelof? But who knows? Who knows what's going through this manager's head these days, sir? But I'll take it. I'll take a clean sheet. I thought the boys, like, we could have scored a lot more goals. I think if we had players in the middle of the park that could have stitched together some passes between the lines, we could have, like, tore them to shreds. But great game from AWB, great game from Bruno, great game from Cavani, Ronaldo, and apparently McTominay got mad in the match. News to me, he played all right, but at least there was some fight today. Like, the boys went in, there were some tackles, we were beating them up. I mean, I know this is a terrible Spurs team. You said it, sir. They are. They look bad. They're very bad. Harry Kane, where are you? I swear to God, I don't think I saw him until like the 70th minute. He like got the ball in the corner, and that was it. But I'm going to root for this team. I know Ole, this is it. I mean, he should be yanked. Should have been yanked earlier this week. But hey, I'll take a win. I enjoyed watching it. It's a little weird, but this is going to be a weird season, sir. It seems like it.
Hey, look, we're calling this the farewell tour. You know, this is, I forget which press outlet in the UK said he's got 3 games to save his job. Look, we're just going to call this the Ole farewell tour. It might be all season. It might be till the next international break. You don't know, but it's the Ole farewell tour. The only person who doesn't know that is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, celebrating like he won the league after beating Spurs. Look, I'm always rooting for Manchester United. This is a big 3 points. You look at that, sir. I don't look at the table, but people have told me about the table. You need to win. You need 3 points. 1 from 4, not good enough. 3, all right, we're on to something. Atalanta away. I'm sure we're going to see the back five again. Took some cojones from Ole to switch formation. Job on the line. Looked more comfortable. Fred had some more space. He got forward, sir. Even had a nice shot. I mean, this is what we're looking for Ole to change it up at the Scouts Bastards. You know, he should have made some of these changes a few games ago. Why does it take a result like Liverpool to make you change formation? We were bleeding. He stopped the bleeding. Credit to him. And obviously Cavani has to be on the pitch for Manchester United in big moments. Like, he'll definitely be playing against Shitty, assuming that knock wasn't too bad. But credit to the manager, credit to the lads for showing some fight. But we looked a lot better in this formation. Oh, by the way, there's some other players you can play wing back. Telles, Delo, look for that in the Champions League, sir. This is exciting. Get Donny in the middle against Atalanta. You know, this is what we want as fans. This is why Ole kind of playing McFred, same thing, 4-2-3-1. I got stale. Start switching up. Start inventing, looking for something. And if it takes his job being on the line to do it, then, you know, great. We saw it today and a great win.
Hey, Sarah, sometimes when your back is against the wall, you come out with the hottest hits, or this farewell tour. Maybe we're going to see the best of Ole at the very end as he's wrapping up his tenure as Manchester United manager. But like you said, we needed to see more gumption around squad selection, formation, tactical changes, subs. This starting 11, I know Varane wasn't available, but this formation, you would have not leaked 5 goals against the Scots Bastards. And obviously, if we played, we might have lost by a couple goals, but we would have been in that game because at least we showed up today. We showed some fight. We beat up Spurs, bro. They had nothing doing. They had like one half chance in the first half through Son, and then we gave the ball away and almost gave them a chance in the second. But they had nothing doing. And I like this back three. You know, like I said, I think if you switched out McFred, it could be a really exciting 11. You know, I like seeing the front two of the old men, Cavani and Ronaldo. Like, what's not to love about that? Cavani, Ronaldo, Bruno. Like, that threesome up front is like a very exciting attacking trio. So I liked a lot of what I saw today. I didn't like a lot of the subs at the end. That was like a little defensive, but hey, Rashford got his goal. I'm not complaining. I'm enjoying these hits, sir. Rolling Stones going on their farewell tour one more time, again and again and again. Around the wheel we go. How long is this farewell tour going to last? 3 games, 3 months, 3 years? Who knows?
Look, I gave you the glass half full take. I'll give you the glass half empty take. We know United can counter. You know, we can defend well against teams and then counter the shit out of them. That's worked for how many years under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? That shouldn't be a no-brainer. That's how we got 3rd, 2nd in the league. How we got to the Europa League final. That's how we play best on the break. The question coming in this season, which you thought Varane would give you, would be, can you break down the low block, the Villas, Evertons, etc., right? And we struggled continually over the years against that. And you thought bringing in Varane would basically break up the McFred midfield. You could get a little more adventurous, play Pogba in the 2, even use Donny. And so it's almost like Ole went back to basics, like defend. And that's not too revolutionary in my eyes, right? Knowing that when we got that goal from Ronaldo, that's really why we got the other 2, because then Tottenham had to come at us and then they were open at the back. So at the same time, you got to think about really good teams. How are we going to do that? How are we going to do well against shitty? Atalanta will be interesting. If they kind of defend, we have to go at them. I mean, so we've always known the style of defend and counter under Ole, and this squad specifically works. It's just more of the more trickier fixtures where a team is intent to defend, and you got to break them down. And that's what we thought could win the league. And obviously the league's kind of far gone at this point. But, that's the glass half empty take there.
You're going to give us both, and I appreciate both. I don't know. I like this formation. I feel like this is the formation we beat PSG like convincingly the second time around with, right? Like that back three, we had Twanzebe in that game, we had Telles in that game. We just haven't seen enough of a deviation from the 4-2-3-1 McFred combo, McSplit, with cheese. And now, even though we got them two in the middle of the park, and I think they did some good things, they also fell over themselves at times, especially in the first half, where I think we could have really ripped open Spurs. But that being said, it's like at least he tried something different. But like I said, this should have been the 11, or at least the formation against the Scousers. I can't believe they tried to go toe-to-toe with the Scouse Bastard, especially when we've been bleeding goals. But I'll take it.
That's exactly the point.
Like, it made no sense. But today, you're especially bleeding goals. You conceded 5. Spurs, they're no good. But I don't hate it because, 3-0, you can't argue with the results, sir. And we it wasn't even close. Like, we wiped them off the field.
No. It was a convincing win against a soft Spurs side. Sir, you can't complain about 3 points. We're going to take it here, sir. The farewell tour continues. Quick PSA for the podcast. The American Red Devils, we are not on a farewell tour. We will follow this team to the Europa Conference League and back, sir. That's how far we will go. If you want to support this podcast, we don't have any sponsors. It's just me and Alex giving you that biased fan take from the couch. That's why you hear all the passion, the banter, etc. Check out our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. If you're not familiar with Patreon, it enables fans to support us directly. We have four tiers. We're giving away pins, stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it. We just recorded our October exclusive Patreon podcast episode. So if you're interested, you want to support us, we think going the direct fan route is the best way in 2021 because you guys don't want to hear ads for things you don't want, interrupting the podcast, etc. So check it out. Also, if you have some time, visit www.americaredevils.com. We have great fan-generated blog content. We're getting the fan voice out there. Every perspective. You might not always like it, but we're giving you that biased fan take from the couch. Check it out. We have some great blog content. And you click on store, we have some merchandise. The Glazers Out scarf, sir. Hashtag Glazers Out all day. Glazers Out sale, $9.99 for a great green and gold scarf. Check it out. That goes directly to support the podcast as well. Tell about iTunes reviews.
Sir, iTunes reviews, great way to support the pod, and they help us get found organically, which goes a long way. And even better, if you write a 5-star review on iTunes, if it's got some cheeky banter, even better, send a screenshot to AmericaRedDevils.com with your mailing address, and I will personally send you some America Red Devils swag just for doing so. Reviews go a long way, helps us get found by other fans like you who like our Muppetry, sir. We know nothing, but we know enough to know that we've seen this movie before. How long is Ole's farewell tour going? You think it might be? We were talking about it on the Patreon pod. Another reason to join Patreon. Other special bonuses as well, but join Patreon. But talking about it on Patreon pod, sir, it's like this might go all year. This farewell tour might run until May.
So this farewell tour could run for another season.
I know. Top four bus, baby.
Sir, it's like... I saw him wear the Frodo Baggins suit to the Villarreal European Cup final and blow that one. You know, that was the beginning of the tour, unfortunately. So let's get into some happier subjects here. Manchester United 3, Tottenham 0 at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. What kind of name for a stadium is that, sir? In North London, game week 11, sir. Let's get into that lineup. Dave Saves, role number one in net. De Gea, not much to do here. He needed a day off. He's been earning those wages. Luke Shaw, left back. Maguire, Lindelof, Iran. He got three center backs in there, sir. Pack it in. Wan-Bissaka on the right. Fred, McTominay, Bruno Fernandes in the midfield. And up front, we had Ronaldo and Cavani. Sir, what'd you make of this lineup when you saw it?
Didn't realize Pogba didn't make the bench, but I like the back three.
Suspended.
For the red card, of course.
Sure, at the match you were at, you might have had a few dark ales.
I didn't have enough dark ales. I'll tell you what. If I knew the game was going to be that bad, I would have had twice as many ales. Just slept. Crystal Palace style, sir. Remember that, Sellers Park? Let's go.
What is the first game?
Tourist? Back three. What's not the... I like the back three, sir. I'm telling you, we wouldn't have gotten murdered by Liverpool if we had played a back three. The only thing I had a problem with, I love the front two. I love Ronaldo. Cavani Ronaldo. I love that. Like, so much passion. It was so good to see the Latin connect as well with Bruno. But I don't get the McFred with cheese. It just doesn't make sense to me. It's like you're playing Spurs. They're shit. You have a back three. Varane's back. Play Fred and Donny. Fred and Matic. Matic and someone. Lingard. I don't know. That didn't make sense to me, but otherwise I liked it. What'd you think?
Sir, Ole's like, I got to play McFred, but I got to do something different. This is what he came up with. Look, I don't mind it because you're going to play conservative and then hit him on the break. You got Bruno, Cavani, Ronaldo. You're going to be able to link up. You got Pace from Rashford, Greenwood on the bench. You're going to be able to make moves. I like this formation. This is what he should have done against Liverpool. You know, it's just a one match and five goals shy of getting this late together, which is like, hey, hot team coming into our house. We're playing like, you've seen the Three Little Piggies. I don't know, the house made of hay. We're playing like that in a windstorm.
First one.
It's the first one to go down. It's like, we need to like shore up shops, or and like, this is what we should have done against Liverpool. And glad to see that he finally made the right change here against Tottenham. You want to jump in the first half?
Let's jump in. United, they came out with intent. They did look like they weren't sleepwalking into it like they did against the Scouser. Seventh minute, there was an early chance. Cavani was involved early, sir. He had a couple early ones, including this one in the seventh minute. Header after a Bruno cross, but that looked like a dangerous combo. He had a couple dangerous heading opportunities in that first 15.
yeah, Bruno finding him with the crosses. I thought it was interesting. The spaces, the pockets of space the midfielders were able to find, I thought that's what really shone here in this formation change. It was an open game to start.
For sure. Absolutely open game. Speaking of which, 24th minute, Spurs with their first chance. Mora flips the ball to Son, who blasts it over the net, sir. This was probably their best opportunity of the game. And thankfully, you know, could have gone a different way.
Thankfully.
Thankfully. Hoping on thankfullies. Right after that, sir, there was another one from a corner, if I remember correctly, 28th minute, disallowed goal. Romero, who actually had a decent game, looks a decent player, comes out good from a dire cross, but he was well offsides. United was rescued out there. We didn't look, that one wasn't the best, but I think we looked okay defending corners otherwise. Okay, not great. Okay.
No, there was another one, free header as well.
Right, remember that one?
I thought,
yeah.
I thought the set piece, I would say, like, we definitely shorted up with the back three, but the set pieces still look shoddy. It's hard to fix that in a week, but it's been a couple of years. But set pieces we did look vulnerable from. Like that, the one header chance, I think it was 1-0 we should have gotten scored on.
No, you're not wrong. And then 32nd minute, Fred the Red, he's going to shoot. Actually, a decent shot, forces Lloris into a save. Should have passed to Cavani. He had him actually open running in.
Hell of a shot. Hell of a
shot, but he's not going to win
it.
Great
shot from Fred.
It's not going to win.
Hey, I call it like I see it. Hell of a hit.
Nice hit. Nice hit, but it was never going in. Anyway, 37th minute, Son on the break. I don't even remember how the break came to be, but AWB, he had a great game, and he had a great tackle. Unbelievable tackle. I don't want to say it was goal-saving because I feel like De Gea would have gotten a piece of it, but it was just like it was a world-class tackle. Like there's nothing else to be said about it.
Yeah, I think Son was offsides here against the VAR linesman where they hold it and then let VAR make the call here. So I do think it was offsides, but again, it's still an amazing challenge from AWB.
Amazing challenge, and I thought he stepped up today and looked good going forward, put some good balls in for Cavani and Ronaldo and co. So, you know, maybe we'll see the best out of him in this kind of back three formation, but big tackle for him. Sir, and then in the 39th minute, apologies in advance for Arlo White. You know, he doesn't even want to sound excited, but who else, sir? CR7.
We're going to Solskjaer pointing to the wide areas. Ronaldo! His former teammate, his job as Manchester United is in jeopardy, and he pulls out a world-class moment to silence the Tottenham Hotspur.
Oh, God, Arlo. How can you do that to yourself on a week in, week out basis? But what a goal. What a ball in, and what a finish. I did not think that was the finish we were going to get from Cristiano Ronaldo. I thought he was going to pass it back to Cavani, but a world-class hit. And Arlo White is that's a punishment, sir. You have to listen to that man call a game. Has to mention the pressure. It's like, dude, they had no shame.
Yeah, it's look, they're not kind of United fans or Manchester United as a club. But let's not talk about Arlo, the guy who would rather focus on Ted Lasso than the greatest English football rivalry of all time. Look, Bruno, inch perfect, right over the head of the Tottenham defender. Ronaldo, inch perfect. I mean, this is just world-class players doing the world-class thing, sir. As a United fan, I mean, the hate that Ronaldo gets, like, who's hating on Ronaldo? What's going on? Sir, the last week has been insane on all fronts as far as being a Manchester United fan, but Cristiano Ronaldo is a winner. He helps us win games. I mean, this goal is just like, how dare you take Ronaldo's name in vain? I mean, unbelievable finish from him. He is the man, and bailing out Ole, because this goal kind of changes the entire game. Spurs got to come at us. We can counter them. But the big thing I would say is we held the clean sheet until halftime, and we've been conceding before half like insane amounts. And so the fact that we were able to kind of shut down shop and get to halftime 1-0, I thought that was progress.
And dude, there was like, it wasn't just the stats. It was like, actually, you watched the game. We looked more on our toes. Obviously, having Varane back, big boost, back three, I think gave confidence. And I just think there was a little bit more edge in the step of Harry Maguire and Luke Shaw because they knew how bad of a game they had last week. So like, everybody stepped up in that regard. We gave them less space to operate. They never, like, even, you know, I know you did, it's true to a certain extent, bailed out by world-class players. Hey, Bruno Fernandes has been bailing out this team for over a year since he's arrived, sir, and this is more of that. Perfect pass, perfect goal. But hey, like you said, headed into halftime, 1-0 up and not conceding because they had a couple chances. They were trying to get a goal. That is progress. I'll take it. We got a clean sheet today. That's something.
Clean sheet in the league. I mean, I think it's like one clean sheet in 21 of our last games. I mean, like clean sheets, all. Hey, you got to celebrate those, sir. So clean sheet in the first half. I'm celebrating it. Let's jump in the second.
Second half, we came out ready to play United, and it didn't take long. 48th minute. You always knew this one was offside, but Ronaldo blasted in, sir. What a hit that was when he scored. Fortunately, he was off, which he sometimes has a tendency to do. And then there was a little bit of a lull until the 64th minute when who was involved? It's got to be the Ronaldo, Bruno, Eddie Cavani connect. Number 21, let's go.
Bruno, pensé que le daba largo de ahí. Cristiano, está solo Cavani, está solo Cavani, está solo Cavani, viene Cavani, viene, gol. Goal!
And you could say whatever you want, sir, about getting bailed out by good players, but this was just some nice football. I mean, from world-class players, of course, but maybe the back three unlocked it, gave them more space. We did have a lot of opportunities on the ball. But a great finish from Cavani, great pass from Ronaldo, and just that was nice football leading up to it in general. And it's just, I want to give credit where credit's due because we haven't seen nice football in like, 2 months? So it's just something. I mean, at least it was like fun to watch at times. Like, yeah, this is United. We got it. We got some good players. We're a good team. Come on.
No, absolutely. You know, it's just, but you know, you have to understand that it comes from playing defensively and then countering, right? It's not from holding, like United holding the ball and being able to attack, you know, without being completely exposed, right? That's the issue. Is like if we went to attack teams, we're exposed still. That's not fixed going back to sort of this defensive style, but it does work and it creates more space. And that's the thing. It's like, hey, take an attacker off, put a defender on, make him come at us. And then boom, look at what Ronaldo, Cavani, and Bruno can do with this space. And I like it, sir. I like it. I'm just saying it doesn't paper over what we haven't been able to do, which this roster can do.
Can do week in, week out. You have to get the most out of this team. That's why we know it's a foregone conclusion in terms of the fate of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, because like they can't be playing the level they had been playing before this game. Hey, we got a change today. Speaking of change, 70th minute sub, Rashford on for Ronaldo. I don't think that was a bad sub. 76-1, this one was a little bit more strange. Matic came on for Bruno. Bruno certainly had questions about that one. But it must be said that Matic was the man involved, along with our boy Rashi in the 86 Matic. Minutes. Sir. Matic, let's go.
¿Cómo vino la gente?
Bien, 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 le atinaron.
¡Qué buena pelota para Rashford! ¡Gol!
Offside.
¿Sí?
Me parece que está adelantado.
No offside, sir. No offside. What a goal. Is that like that's becoming Rashi's trademark open the hip outside goal, sir? I love that goal. What a goal for Marcus. Fit and firing. He's looking like a dangerous player. This team cannot be just competing for top four. We are freaking stacked, sir. And today you're like, Jesus, we are stacked. We gotta be whooping teams.
Absolutely. What an amazing finish from Marcus off the bench again. I mean, his goal record since coming back to injury, has he won a game or every game he's featured, he scored, or every game he's come off the bench, he scored. He is red hot. Marcus Rashford, frosted tips. You absolutely love to see it. Obviously, no, he didn't score against the Scouse Bastards, sir, because that was a big McFred nothing burger there. But he's been in amazing form. You got to celebrate it, dude. 3-0. Take the points. Lads, it's Tottenham. Back to business. You love to see it, sir. This is just clinical performance. You get the goals. You get the clean sheet, sir. You didn't quite beat him 5-0, but you beat him 3-0 away. And a response from the lads, something that you can't ignore. I mean, this is just it's a clinical performance. Like I said, getting to the minutia on like how you play or how you want to play. I mean, that's probably a little bit unfair. I mean, we need to win at this point. So I have to say, you got to take 3 points in hand and be happy on the day. Stats, even more impressively, Spurs didn't have one shot on target. We had four. They had 59% of the ball to our 41%. So clearly, sort of the counter hit him quickly, space him behind for those world-class players. Absolutely worked. Bruno unlocking everyone worked. Did concede 10 corners to Spurs. That's where you see that sort of seven defensive players on the field come in handy, right? And I think the whole point about playing the back five is Luke Shaw, if he makes a mistake, he's not punished as harsh. Harry Maguire, it's easier to kind of, if one moves up, there's still four. I thought that is, you kind of have to manage how the team is playing, and defensively we're kind of all over the place. Give the defenders more forgiveness. I thought that worked well. I thought it opened things up. McTominay was man of the match for Ole in this post-game match interview, sir. I think he said he was man of the match generally. I think Ole said that he really rated McTominay's performance. I'd have to rewatch it to tell you. I thought Fred played well. Moving forward, he looked a lot better, similar to probably how he looks for Brazil. I haven't watched him too much, but he has been playing a lot better there. So I thought great stuff, a lot of positives, and it's really that bounce that Manchester United needed. Now, whether that's sort of that dead cat bounce, Ole's at the wheel bounce. Who knows, sir? This is the thing about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. It could be the dead cat bounce, or he could go 14 unbeaten and then back to the top of the table. Who knows?
We could be bounced. We could be bouncing Ole's at the wheel over Christmas. This guy's a madman. He's a madman with lives up his sleeve. Like literally, he could beat up City on the counter, sir. We could do Rashford on the counter all day special, and that could work, but you never know, sir. This farewell tour might keep going. Start me up. I'll tell you what, Rolling Stones never retire. One more tour. Let's go. Money grab.
Match reaction. Cristiano Ronaldo setting up Edison Cavani is the first time two players age 34 and over combined for a Premier League goal for Manchester United since Paul Scholes assisted Ryan Giggs versus Newcastle in August 2010. And Cristiano Ronaldo has both scored and assisted a goal for the 12th time in a Premier League match, with three of these occasions coming against, you guessed it, Tottenham. Wet Noodle FC, sir. What do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Describe the differences in the dressing room between the last round and this game today.
I think you have to have been in football, been inside a dressing room. When we do this for a living, when we do it for it's our hobby, but then when you win a game, the dressing room is the best place to be. When you lose a game, it's one of the worst places to be. But I have to say they've stuck together since last week. That's what it is to be in a dressing room as well, to get rid of that disappointment and look forward.
We waited today for reaction. We've seen that reaction from you in a style of play today, playing three in the back, and from the players with the three goals and clean sheet.
Result is important, but it wasn't the main thing. The main thing was you can see 11 players there fighting their absolute maximum for the club and for this massive, fantastic club, and the privilege to play for it. And I have to say, all of them to a man prove what they are capable of doing.
And you've seen,
sir, I don't think this farewell tour is ending anytime soon. More confident than he looked after we got trounced last week. Saying the right things, it's true. Players left it all on the field. Certainly showed up. And that did matter in some ways more than the result. But I'll take the result. This is a good result. And you know what? It's a results-based business, so we can give them that. It's like, this is a good result. Let's go. Let's get another good result. And then another good result. And then we'll figure out what the hell's going on. Because the Glazers and front office got other shit to worry about, sir, apparently. I don't know what they're worried about. Something. Something. They're not worried about United.
Yeah, sir. And, just to touch on the disconnect between the board and sort of the fans, for a quick second, it's always hashtag Glazers on this podcast. Like you said, we're not going to win a title. Under the Glazers, it's looking like it. The only way, Ole survives, the Scouts bastards, that horrific defeat, is if your ambition isn't to win the league, right? Because if you're trying to win the league, or you're trying to really turn it around, or you have your sights set on winning the Champions League or winning the FA Cup, now, you need a new manager. If you're only thinking about top four, you don't need to get rid of Ole. And if you're also thinking about, hey, Ole's a Mr. Nice Guy, he's a yes man. If we don't invest in the team, he'll do whatever we say. If we, you know, he'll just generally do whatever we want. He'll keep the press cool, take the pressure off us, and make top four. And look, he's made top four last 2 years, and they've gotten paid handsomely for that. Why bet against them now? We have a 30% chance to make it, according to 538.com. And that's where the board's disconnect is growing. That's why, as fans, you kind of see us, okay, our expectation this season is win the title. We came in second, big investment, got to play good football, got to be competing for the title. We don't even want to win the title. We want to be competing. It's October. We ain't competing.
Wow.
And I think that's where the fans, not only we ain't getting competing, we're getting embarrassed at our house by our bitter rival. And so as fans, that's sort of when it's like, all right, we need a change. But for the Glazers, losing by five to the Scouse Bastards doesn't matter, because they're looking at the table and they're saying, we can stick with them. We still get top four. But I think if you look at this team, you look at the investment where the fans are thinking, win the Champions League. You said win the league. We're dying for trophies, sir, at the moment at Manchester United. And there's a disconnect between that boardroom. Boardroom at Manchester United doesn't want to win things. Can you imagine that? Hashtag Glazers out.
Thirstiest fans in the world, sir. We're all thirsting for titles, trophies.
They were dying now.
Dying. I needed that Europa League, bro. I needed to be blasting Hansa Franz all summer. Instead, it became a death march.
We need a race. We need a title race. We need to compete. We need to play good football, sir.
We know these owners.
We're dying.
Sir, we know these owners. You said it. You're absolutely right. We talked about it on the Patreon pod. These people's aspirations are just about money. So it's like they don't care about winning the league. They just care about doing whatever it takes for the bare minimum just to achieve financial success as they see it. It's like, yeah, you get more accolades and more money actually if you win stuff. But like top four is good enough for them. It's clearly a three-horse race for the title. Scousers, City, Chelsea. And attribute a four-horse race based on the investment we've made and the team we have, but it's not going to be, because unfortunately for the manager we have. But to them, like you said, for the reasons you talked about, Mr. Nice Guy doesn't question their lack of investment, lack of interest, lack of intent. Sir, we're going to be stuck in this, like, hey, we're the new Arsenal, sir. Top four is good enough. Fourth place is more. That's $100 million check, and that is all we care about. So
yeah, but when you set your aims on top four, you start missing top
exactly,
four.
Exactly.
You know, that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. You got to be aiming for number one, and then you fall amongst the stars, sir. No, you know.
They don't get it, sir. I know
isn't
what you
that
mean.
How it works?
You're one of those analogies. Yeah, it's all like
just
that.
Sell it. Just sell.
Sell it. Leave
sell
us alone.
It. Just sell it to somebody who wants to win something. Please.
You ready for Champions League?
Or we got a next match. Give me that sweet music. Cheer me up.
Sir, where, oh, where in the world is Manchester United going this week?
Sir, let it build.
Sir, you got lunch.
I need it. That's right. That music, all the troubles of the last few weeks are fading away. Manchester United versus Atalanta at the GWIS Stadium, Champions League game week 4, Tuesday, November 2nd, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. Sir, is Group F. Quick check on the table. United top of the table, sir. What are we worried about? Villarreal tied with Atalanta on 4 points and Young Boys at 3. It is a little tight, sir. Big game away in Italy. Can we do it? Atalanta, 5th in Serie A. They're climbing the table. last five coming into this game. They beat Empoli. We beat them with a miraculous second half comeback with Ronaldo. They drew Udinese, beat Sampdoria, and they drew Lazio today. Sir, they're all over the board. We played them. They're just a bunch of Italian bridge trolls. We should be able to beat them away.
There you go. So this guy's always got nice things to say. So we saw how they played at United. At Old Trafford. We know who they are. We know what we're getting. They're going to be an open game. Play it open. Play with players that can play an open game. Stretch him. Put in Rashford. Put in speed. Put in Greenwood. Put in Sancho. Dude, this team is there for the taking. Just go there with intent. Play like you have a pair. And just, like, go win. Go. There's no excuses. This team is not that good, and we're a very good team. So I don't even... Sir, this team should be good enough to beat so-and-so. A lot of teams. And this is one of them. So it's like, I don't know. I got no excuses. Let's go.
Sir, the bridge troll reference is like, you know, the greatest bridge troll is Benucci, you know? Just one of the greatest of all
the
time.
King of trolls.
They're just good at, like, messing with you and not getting cards and getting away with, like, shithousery and, you know, physical. It's just, like, everything about it. You're the better team. But somehow they're just trolling you, sir. They just know how to do it. Italian teams are tough. They fall down. You know the whole deal.
I know.
It's a whole other
tough as nails. So like
you kind of have the I don't know what you call Spanish shithousery, but you know the Italian shithousery called bridge trolls. So you gotta love to see it. Atalanta, they're setting up in a 3-4-2-1. Sir, Zapata is really the one that concerns me. He came on. Looked very dangerous against us. He's been in great form lately, so I'd be looking out for him. As far as history on Atalanta, sir, I mean, they were founded in 1907. They play in a very small town in Italy, and they're called the Regina della Provincali, to the fact that the club's is the most consistent among Italian clubs, not based in a regional capital. So they actually play in a very small part of Italy. Essentially not a capital, and their matches only 21,000 seat stadium. So it'll be interesting to play Atalanta. But they're a very industrious team. They've won the Coppa Italia in 1963. They reached the semifinals of the Cup Winners' Cup in 1988, sir. And they've qualified for the Champions League three times. They're kind of becoming the bridge trolls of the Champions League. They're always kind of getting the knockout stages. They had a deep run last season. And this is going to be a big game. You want to talk about tough tests for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you know, a draw away. I consider that a good result for United. I'm going to call it like I see it, sir. I don't have any anti-Ole bias here. A draw is a good result for United here.
I take a draw. I mean, we know we're better than this team, but it's, you know, you're playing away. You're playing in Italy. You're playing in a you know, with a way home stadium in Italy where, you know, it's going to be tough. Draw would be fine. I think Ole needs a win, you know. But that's to keep it at a three-game farewell tour, not a three-month farewell tour. So, like, there's no excuses. I think we saw how open it was last time, and we looked out of sorts. I think he just needs to try and rectify that now. I don't know what he's going to do. I think, like, did he pick his, like, loyal 11, and those are the ones he's going to keep riding until they break down? I don't know how it's going to go, sir. Like, I think that there was something to be said about the players that he picked today when he was so on the chopping block. So we'll see what he comes up with midweek.
Sir, we will see what he comes up with. Physioroom.com injuries. Paul Pogba is back in. He can play in the Champions League. Martial, the only one out. Cavani had a knock. Probably won't feature given its minutes. Sir, given that, what is your lineup?
Sir, I'm going back with the back three. I like it. We're going to do De Gea, Ned. Who else? AWB, Varane, Bailly, Maguire, Telles. I'm going to do a midfield of Matic and Pogba. I'm going to do Bruno in the hole. And then up front, I'm going to do Rashford. And give it to Eddie Cavani, sir. There you go. We're not on the bench. He'll come off.
He's not going to play. Yeah. He's too old, sir. Got too many minutes, and he doesn't do the Ronaldo diet, whatever that is. Dave says world number one in net. I'm going to say Dolo. You know, played AC Milan, knows a thing or two about the Italian Serie A game. I'm going to do Maguire, Lindelof, Varane, Telles on the left. I'm going to do Fred and Pogba. Pogba's going to come back in because obviously he can't play in the EPL. Bruno, Greenwood, Ronaldo. I think you're going to see Greenwood come in for Cavani just because he's not going to do the minutes. Sir, given those your lineups, what is your score predictions for Atalanta away? Big match for Manchester United here.
Sir, 2-1. Manchester United. Keep the winning going. Keep the good times rolling, sir. The ups are up. The downs are down. I think the ups are going to keep rolling. Let's go. Come on, City.
Sir, I'm rolling the dice in my hand. I'm rolling it. Nil-nil. It's been a while since we watched a nil-nil. This one looks like, I haven't even checked the weather. But I feel a feeling it might be rainy, and we might watch a nil-nil. It's been a while, but that's a good result away in the Champions League. Stabilize the table there. So I think just trolling the bridge trolls is the way to go here.
We need to, I think we just got to go play. Like, we got back three sounds good. I think that just, like, because right now we're just generally leaky that he doesn't even trust two center backs. Play three, but play some midfielders that can pass between the lines and put some speed on there, because we know most Italian sides are vulnerable to pace, you know, because they don't play quite as fast as they do in the Premier League in Italy. So I would play like fastest front three you can. Rashford. You know, Rashford, Bruno, Greenwood is pretty torchable for like over the top. So that's what I like to see. There should be goals in this game, but like you said, shithousery at home, sir, with fans, nil-nil, you could definitely see.
All right, sir, let's get some news.
Let's get some news. Here we go.
United in the news.
Anything going on these days?
Sir, Brendan Rodgers eyed as Manchester United's successor per ESPN. We're obviously talking about the farewell tour for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Who knows how long that tour is, or right now it's three games, might get extended. Might keep playing, sir, in the next season. You do not know, but it is a farewell tour, apparently. Talk about great communication from Manchester United. Brendan Rodgers is probably the next yes man up. I would say he's probably better tactically than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but in big spots, he has choked. He's choked top four big time. Did win the FA Cup. Failed at Liverpool. Drove Raheem Sterling out. Don't want Brendan Rodgers. More of a Ten Hag type of guy. Get Edwin van der Sar as CEO, but I know the board doesn't like bold moves that will help us win. So again, Rodgers looking for probably another guy who needs a big job and can't really say much. He'd be an upgrade, sir, but, you know, I feel... I said on the Patreon pod, I mean, like, wake me up when we sack Brendan Rodgers in 3 years.
You're not wrong, sir. He would be an upgrade, but only just, you know, like, in some ways, David Moyes now, after what he's been through, would be an upgrade in some ways. You know, it's just like, he's kind of like a David Moyes, you know, who's coaching for a slightly better team and a better organization. But, dude, he, like, flopped as a Scouser. You know, he's good, not that good. And they're like, you got to go, you got to do the English thing again. It's the yes man factor. It's like, he would love to be Manchester United manager. And he would probably like take whatever kind of nonsense the Glazers could throw at him. So I could see it happening, sir. You know, like you said, I could see him getting sacked in 3 years. Why not?
No, but it's, if you remember, and obviously, too, we've been following this game for a while, the reason why he was sacked at Liverpool, he couldn't handle the big seat.
Totally.
Leicester's perfect for him. He does well against Leicester. I mean, he is a good coach, great coach. But why he failed at Liverpool, it was too much for him. You know, the press, everything, the mind games kind of got to him a little bit. I feel like Leicester, the spotlight's not on as much. It's the perfect situation where he can thrive. I just still think it's too big of a jump for him at Manchester United. I mean, he choked in a top four race for Leicester, and no one really cares, right? He chokes for a top four race with Manchester United. People are going to care. Next bit of news here, sir. We have a Roy Keane clip. Do you have that up?
Sorry, it is spinning into oblivion. We're sucking up too much Wi-Fi. It's we got a user error, bro. We got nothing. Sorry, I'm trying.
Well, Roy Keane came out. He gave a hysterical impression of Harry Maguire, similar to my Harry Kane here on the podcast. Said that the players should stop apologizing. Went hard at him pre-game. I haven't seen what he said post-game. Sure, it's equally as entertaining. Sorry, I got the wife calling me here. it is my wife's birthday. Hey. So you want to talk about the sacrifices we lay down here on this podcast. I got a nanny here watching my son. My wife's calling me. She's like, hey, man, we got to go to lunch, but I'm doing the pod and never sleeps.
Never sleeps, sir.
Players got to stop apologizing. I love Marcus Rashford, but the tweets of just like, we're so sorry.
It's painful.
It's like, give me a break. Just like, just don't tweet anything and beat Spurs. That's all you need to do. And then tweet, we're back, baby. Something like that. Social media, it's hard on footballers. You know, I don't like to really criticize them too much, but I'll tell you, apologies from Harry Maguire. He's soft. Just soft. Just like, come on. We want results. Play better. That's all we care about. We don't need like apologies from you, you know?
I'm with you. It's that quote. I heard that quote. And it's a shame it didn't load, but it will be. It should be on the soundboard, sir. You know, it's like so good. It's like it'll be a famous quote too. In some ways, I agree. What is this like talking via social media and tweets and Instagram posts that may or may not have been written? And who gives a shit? Just it's all about the pitch. It's all about the performances on the pitch. That is where it's shown. It's like talk is cheap. Talk is cheap, bro, and this is just more talk. It's like, go play hard. I'm exactly. More proud of the team today. It's like they showed some grit. Harry showed a lot more grit today than he showed in a presser, sounding like a little bit of a, you know, he sounded like kind of like a softie. He didn't sound like a captain of Manchester United, bro. Like he said, like Keno shots fired for good reason because he sounded like a captain of Spurs, you know?
Not
a captain
of Manchester United. It's a new generation, you know. It's a new generation of footballers, and you know we can criticize them. You got to be harder. You know what? That's like Keno, obviously. sir, got an autographed photo of Keno in my room right here. Remind me not to be as soft as Harry Maguire every day. You know, but it's just like it's just bad optics. I just think they should just learn. Okay, like don't worry about what to tweet. Worry about how to play better. You know, and I think that would go a long way. I do know it's difficult, but. They'll figure it out, sir. You know, Keen going at it. It's an easy dig, so, but it's always entertaining. Last bit of news here from The Guardian is a good article. Manchester United must finally dump the Fergusonisms and make a clean break with Sir Alex Ferguson. I thought this was an interesting sort of counter narrative this week. Basically said the sub headline was club weirdly remain enthralled to a 79-year-old man who has not coached in almost a decade. When a cultural reset is needed. A passage from the article, Fergusonism is why United should always play with wingers. Fergusonism is why the ultimate responsibility always lies with the players. Fergusonism is why the manager deserves time, however bad things get. But what if everyone's been doing it wrong? What if the real lesson from the Ferguson era is that in order to drive real change, you need an apostate, a young visionary prepared to sweep everything away and build a club along new principles from the academy upwards. And I do feel this. I think we've had one foot in the Sir Alex Ferguson way and then one foot in the future. And that's kind of where the next managerial appointment is so important, where like a Nagelsmann could be that change, like someone who's playing different form of the game, has a new vision for the game, a new vision for what United can be. And I just think having him coming back to training ground, having him back Ole, you know, I love Sir Alex Ferguson, but he did give us David Moyes, and he did see the writing on the wall with the Glazers. Him and David Gill both got out of town. And it's time for something new, you know? And that's why I don't think Brendan Rodgers is it.
No, I think we all know that, sir. And this is a product of one thing and one thing only. This is not Fergusonism, whatever. I can't even pronounce shit. You know, I can't talk. This is Glazer economics, my man. That's the only reason they keep parading around, pulling in Fergie. He should be retired, enjoying one of his racehorses. So they need to bring in, like, thought leaders. They need to bring in, like, the best in the biz, the young, cutting edge, what Ferguson was when he showed up in 86, bro. He was one of the best young. He was a Nagelsmann, you know? He was, like, a Klopp before exactly. He came to Liverpool. Exactly. He was like a player, a coach that like chipped up above his means at his clubs up in Scotland and proved it. And then like he earned the job.
He reinvented himself
over and over and over and over again at Manchester United alone, let alone the other clubs that he like outperformed with. So it's like you need to just find another one. But the thing is, the owners are not ambitious. The owners are not, they're not tuned in. They don't give a shit. They don't have anyone in the front office that knows what they're doing. Because if they did, they'd be like, we don't know what we're doing. Let's get people who do. Van der Sar, he's a club legend that actually has proved it at another club. Be our CEO. Okay, we need a DOF. Who's the best around? Let's go look at clubs that have kicked ass over the last 10, 15 years. Poach them. Best managers. Okay, who's been last 5 years? Who's chipping up above like where they should be? Find somebody you haven't even heard of, dude, because that's who's the next manager should be. And instead, it's going to be Brendan Rodgers because it's easy. And that's Glazernomics, bro. Glazernomics. Can't even pronounce it. I don't even know what it is.
Sir, wife is texting me.
Wrap it up, bro. Wrap it up. Fan questions. Just a couple fan questions real quick.
At Jared United, quote, lads, it's Tottenham. Wish we could play him every week.
That's a great one.
That's a great one. At Fergie underscore time 7, massive 3 points for us, and nice to see the lads respond. I still think we need to move on from Ole, but it was good to have him get things right today. Totally agree. At Mike United Mets, quote, get in our first dominant performance in weeks. It'll be very interesting to see how long the back five sticks around, but props to Ole for trying something new instead of banging your head against the wall. Where does Sancho fit in this formation? That's a good point. That's probably why you don't buy him if you're going to play this formation. At Adronicus 95, quote, Ole, 9 lives have done it again. Now he won't get fired and we'll finish in top 4 and the mediocrity continues.
Fact.
It's more of the farewell tour continues. I got a few more here, sir. At MM Marin underscore 805, quote, finally grabbed the full 3 points we needed, but we have to keep in mind what Scholl said. The results that matter is when we play a quality team such as Liverpool and City. Totally agree. And I'm going to end it here on this one. At RobMart07124, quote, I'll take it after last weekend. I'm glad Kane wasn't playing today. Oh, he was. LOL. Are we good?
He was bad. Holy crap. He was so bad. He didn't do anything.
You could be Tottenham. Just remember that.
Yeah, it could always be worse. It could always be worse.
You could basically not have 20 titles. And you could be losing to us, and we're not even playing that great. So, you know what? Sir, you just got to sometimes appreciate what you got.
Dude, you do. Because we were still Manchester United, bro. If we go to our stadium, it's rocking. You know, until they punch us in the gut. The Scousers, that is. But they were still rocking. Nobody was, come on, you Spurs. I heard that for about a minute. And then you heard the Manchester United fans the rest of the game.
Yeah, come on, you Spurs. There's not a worse chant.
I know.
Look, if you like the America Red Devils, we are 4 fans, 5 fans. Pod never sleeps, sir. Support the podcast on Patreon. Check out our website, www.americaredevils.com. Write a review on iTunes, sir. Give them the top downloads last 7 days.
So you get out of here before your wife kills you. I'll wrap it up.
Sir, you wrap it up. All right, guys. Everyone have a good one. Woo! 3 points, baby.
Later,
everyone have a good week. On to Atalanta. Cheers.
See you next time, sir. Enjoy it. Top cities, last 7 days. Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Chicago, Illinois. Montrose, United Kingdom. Busan, Republic of Korea. Orange, California, Stoke-on-Trent, UK, New York, New York, Charlestown, West Virginia, Toronto, Canada, Rochester, New York, and last but not least, Sydney, Australia. What a list. Appreciate all the America Red Devils listening week in, week out. We got some more, actually. West Vancouver, Canada, Dublin, Ireland, and Setagaya-ku, Japan. Appreciate you. Appreciate all the America Red Devils listening week in, week out. We couldn't do it without you. How long will the Ole last chance saloon go? We will not know, but big game midweek against Atalanta, up the Reds, and here's Manchester United Calypso taking you out. Enjoy the weekend.